Now, open your Bibles to Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28. Today is going to be a practical message. Devil is really fighting me. I'm standing there and I just feel this battle in my spirit. And so please pray for me in your spirit as I'm here. Because what I'm going to deliver today, if I deliver it, and I will deliver it by the name of Jesus, is going to change your life. It's going to be practical. It's not going to be like, you know, something up there. It's something you can do now. And something that will change your life now. Let's read. Message is called Overcoming Your Ego. Overcoming Your Ego. Okay, let's read. Then the mother of Zebedee's, the sons, came to him and with her sons, kneeling down, asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup what I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able," without even knowing what it is. So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with my baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be among you, but whoever desires to become great, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Hallelujah. Now Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:1. "But know this, in the last days, perilous time will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, ungodly, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away." Today I'm preaching about ego. And today I'm going to expose that power in each one of our life that destroys much of our happiness and peace. All of the people in the world, they have an ego. Some have it to the greater measure. Some have it to the less of a measure. When I began to look at this subject, ego, it began to convict me. So I'm not preaching to you something that I just chose. Okay, let's preach today about ego because I came to it. I am preaching to you about something that was convincing, something that was messing me up for 2 weeks now. Every one of us have ego, and your pastor has ego too. Ego is an outcome of self-importance. Ego is an outcome when we want to be self-important, when I want to be important. You know, it's okay to be important, but it's not okay for me to want to be important. If you want to be important, there's a law in this world that works, that it works against you. Have you ever been to the party and you felt like you're an important person and everybody's supposed to treat you a certain way? And every time you come in there, you will always be disappointed. I've experienced it, people. Every time you come and you expect, well, I am, you know, a good person. I am important person. I am, you know, so people should be treating me. And when they don't, you get very bitter, very disappointed, you begin to feel worthless. You begin to feel like nobody cares, and then you begin to be grouchy. You begin to accuse people and say, "Well, that's a bad party. Those are the bad people. But listen, it's never the people. It's always us. How many of you have relatives? Amen. One person said, your friends are a gift from God to recompensate for your relatives. Your friends are a gift from God to recompensate for your relatives, to pay you back for the relatives that you got. Okay, have you ever prayed to God? I mean, I know I go to some of my parties, of my relatives' parties or gatherings or family occasions, and I would get disappointed a lot. You know, well, Pastor Alex came. I should be the one praying for food. No. And that's ego working in a person. And if they ask somebody else to pray for food, guess what you're going to do? You're going to be upset. I just been to a party not too long ago, and they asked me to pray for food. And so I did. And I noticed how people were mad, how people were upset because they weren't asked. They were supposed to be. They were from a different place than we are. Okay? So ego is something that's a deep a serpent that has a hold on each human being, on each person, even on each Christian. And so I was praying to God, and I was saying, God, listen, you know, make, when I go to my families, make me be, have fun. How many of you prayed that prayer? When I go to my relatives, I want to feel peace. I just want to feel good. I mean, when I go to my friend's house, I am okay. But then when I go to my parents' house or my brother's gathering, problem. And I'm like, God, what is going on? Why aren't you do something? And God has been speaking to me. He says, remove your ego, remove yourself out of the way, become a servant, and guess what? Everything is going to be okay. People, it's God saying, you change. Then the people around you will change. So, ego is a form of pride, and it hurt the people around you, and you most of all. Ego is something that hurts you and robs you of your peace and robs you of your joy. Many people are always complaining. Always something is wrong. Always getting offended. What do you think that is? It's a strong ego. It's a monster of ego that we don't think it's a big deal. Have anybody ever called you egotistical? Maybe. This is the problem, people. This is how ego works. You begin to place a picture in your head. And you begin to place a picture of how people are supposed to treat you. Because of maybe your accomplishments. Because maybe of your education. Or your family background. Or how much money you're making. Or what kind of car you're driving. And every time you do that, it's like this law that works against you. Every time you come there with your best suit to show off. With intention, I'm going to show them. Guess what happens? Nobody even notices it. And when nobody notices it, you are upset, you're angry, and you start doing what? Finding excuses. Oh, those people are just jealous. They're just jealous of me. You know, I look at my dress, look at this. Well, listen, if you just carry a spirit of pride on you, of ego, and people can sense it. I don't know how, but when you go into a room, people are mad, you can sense it. All right? When you go to a room, people are happy. You become happy because you sense it. It's just because we're spiritual beings, people. We are spirits, and our spirits can we communicate in a spirit. That's why it's important to have one spirit. So people who are egotistical begin to paint a picture in their mind, and when they paint this picture, they're saying this: I got good looks, better than anybody. And when you begin to go and act like I'm the best looking here, I got the best job in here. Look at my achievements. People are supposed to treat me according. Don't they see? I'm so big. I'm so great. And some people even do this. They said, if I have a snobby attitude, then people would treat me nice. If I have an attitude, when I come in and I start, you know, being just on top of everybody, walk on everybody's head, then I feel, you know, superior. Then I feel better. And the problem is not only in us, people.
It was also in the disciples of Jesus Christ. On many occasions, disciples of Jesus came to him and said, who is going to be the greatest? On many occasions, they were fighting among themselves saying, I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. No, no, no. I am the greatest. I'm Peter. I'm the rock. Didn't you hear what Jesus said? And what happens is, in this story that we read in Matthew, that son of Zebedee's brought their mother. Can you believe it? Mama, can you go speak to Jesus? Because I want to be great. We want to be great. But listen to this. This is not it. The story says that other disciples were mad at those. Why were they mad? Why didn't they just say kids? John and James are kids. But they got mad. Why do you think they got mad? Because they were feeling the same thing inside of their heart. Because there was the same. I read a quote. People follow for three reasons. People follow somebody greater than them for three reasons. Because of fear, because of self-interest, and because of love. So what were they following Jesus for? Selfish reasons. Do you remember when they come, especially those two brothers, James and John, when they came to the city of Samaria, and those people would not let them in. They said, Jesus, allow us to pull down fire upon the city and burn him, like Elijah did. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit is speaking through you. You don't know what spirit is or you are of. And on many occasions, I can see that disciples would come and break to Jesus and say, Jesus, demons are subject to us. Jesus, people are getting healed. And Jesus had to tell them, calm down, boys. Calm down a little bit. Don't rejoice because the demons, but because your name is written in the book of life. Hallelujah. So today the number one assignment of us people, of God's people, is not to be known because we cast out demons. Not to be known because we heal people or because people are getting saved. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. That's the job of God. Our job is to make sure and to rejoice and have peace about it. There are names that are written in the book of life. Hallelujah. Come on, give glory to the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. Many people, when they come in a room, they do an assessment. Okay, who is here lower than me? Okay, you. Okay, got it. Now, they look at that one person who's higher. Just one step, they feel like higher. And what they do is they begin to be offended at that person. They begin to find problems with that person. You know what I'm talking about. Just to put them down. Have you ever I want to confess. You know, I want to be a good preacher. That's obvious. I mean, any preacher wants to be a good preacher. Any singer wants to be a good singer. Is that okay that I told the truth? Okay. And I would listen to the people that I would look up to, and I would say, oh, Tanya, you know, they're okay, you know. Tanya's like, oh no, they're good. I'm like, they're okay. And one moment, she first convicted me. Tanya first convicted me. And then Holy Spirit after that kept on convicting me, you know, through her words. Keep running it through. I wanted to tell him, get away, you know. But the thoughts keep coming. And so what was happening, God began to show me that it's of my own ego. It's because I want to feel superior. I want to feel greater. That's why I'm doing it. But why do I need to? I'll never be like that person. You will never be like another person in the world. Every one of us has a specific assignment from God to fulfill in this world. And when you are fulfilling that assignment, you're walking in obedience. People, God revealed it to me. If you begin to act like somebody else, you're walking in disobedience to God and His assignment. And that's why things are not going the way they should for you. Don't try to copy people. Don't try to, look. Yeah, it's good to look at people. It's good to learn from people. But when you begin copying and following somebody else's steps, listen to what happens. You go away from your path. And you start going and that's why you got thorns, you got thistles, you got trees, you got tied up somewhere here. Something else is happening here. Listen, the best place to be is not at the greatest level by the throne of Jesus on the right or left, the best thing to do is to do what you were made to do. To do what you were created to do. This is the obedience, people. We talk about obedience a lot, but it's doing. God has made us. He has assignment. He told you, do this. Paul says, God who predestined me before I was born. Pharisee Paul. Saul, you don't know him. But Apostle St. Paul, you do know him. Not because he wanted to be the great. Not because he wanted to be important. But because he did what he was designed to do. Maybe you love helping people. Maybe you love serving people. But because it's invisible, because it's popular, not popular, because it's behind the scene, behind the curtain, well, I'm not going to do that. Nobody's going to see me. And you begin doing everything and nothing. And you want to be respected. You beg people to respect you, but respect flees from you. I don't want to, listen, I don't want to say never, but I don't want to live somebody else's life. I want to live my life. And you're asking God why there is no peace? Because what you're doing is not your place. You're supposed to be here. But you're going behind somebody. You're following somebody. And so that's what they were doing. But those other 10 disciples weren't better. They were just exactly the same like those two. Because they were just fighting through the time. Because they were following Jesus for selfish reasons. What are you following Jesus for? Because you can show you who you are and show your talents in church or in front of other people. What are we following? Because we love him. Disciples were following him because of self-interest. Why do they follow people like Hitler? Because of fear. Or Stalin? Because of fear. So people follow for three reasons. Fear, self-interest, and love. Follow him because you love him, not because of self-interest. And if you love him, that means you're led by him. You're connected to him. Jesus said this. The number one job for us people is to be connected to the source, which is Jesus Christ. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me and I abide in you and my word abide in you, then whatever you ask, it flows through the source. It flows. Hallelujah. We are his people, greatest creation of God, the most beautiful creation of God. And we were designed and created to be always connected with him. People, I love praying, not because I don't pray loud anymore in my home. Sometimes, wake up kids. But I just relax in the presence of God. I just come and just my soul just comes, you know, like this water, you know, waves of water, you feel it in your spirit. But when you just come before the Lord and just surrender, just begin to communicate slowly, speaking, you begin to feel peace. And it's like you recharge your battery. Okay, those who are led by the Spirit, that means communication, that means leading, whatever he tells you to go, not whatever your ego. Your ego can tell you where to go. Your pride can tell you where to go, or Holy Spirit can tell you what to do or where to go. If you follow the Holy Spirit, peace, joy, even through tribulations, even through hell, no matter what you go through, he's there because he's leading you. But if your ego begins to lead you, your pride, your me, I begin to lead, that's when we begin to see things are falling apart. Problems in marriages, problem with children, with parents, problem at work, and problem in church is because we're led by our... I've caused many problems because of my ego in life. So did you. God is speaking today, people. So you need to receive this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is what I wrote in my study today. The more of attention that you want, the more it runs from you. The more you want people to treat you important, it seems like they never do. The more you want people to love you, the more it seems like they don't. And you're disappointed all these times. The more you want people the more you want to be better than others, the more somebody becomes better than you are. All right? The more you want to be richer than your friends, there's always a person who comes into town from other state. And becomes richer, and you get upset because your worth is determined by your position, by how you feel, Because how rich you are, or what you achieved, or what college you went to. So ego will make you live to be superior to everyone else. Ego will drive you like a jockey a horse, and you are the horse. You didn't get this. Ego will drive you like the jockey a horse, and you're not the jockey. You're the horse. You know what jockey is? Is the person on a horse hitting that horse. And ego is never enough. Your ego will never be satisfied. Because it's the flesh thing, people. And flesh is never satisfied. He wants more and more and more. And it's never enough. I forgot, but I wanted Vadim and Ilya to sing a song. Never enough. Never enough. You know how we say more than enough? Never enough. So, God, Bible says this, God resist the proud. God is a spirit, and the spirit is working against you, resisting you. Whatever you do, when you moved by your ego, it resists. God is resisting you. You're going against God, and no wonder things are not working out. And if you are going to become successful according to your ego, it will never satisfy. Kurt Cobain is a famous rock, some of you know him, rock musician. He had everything, millions of dollars, suicide. Many of them who achieved everything in life. Howard Hughes, right? Richest man. His money is still, because he had so much money in the bank that it produces so much interest, they've given it away, and it keeps growing. He still probably has so much money than all of us put together. Oh, and he's dead a long time ago. Because it's always more. It's always more. That's ego. That's a life of ego. But a life of Christ is, Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest, become the least. If you want to be known, become a servant to all. And listen, I don't comprehend it. My human mind, I know it's true, but I don't comprehend it completely yet. But I know that the greatest way is love. And I'm going to be hopefully continuing on that. So God resists the proud. God resists egotistical people. So today I want to give you a few steps. Not just preach about ego, but I want to give you steps. So get your pen and pencil or pen and a notebook and write this. And I encourage everybody to bring a notebook, because I'm going to give you some great things from Timothy. I got this, so Second Timothy chapter 3, Bible says that in the end of times, be known that at the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, and on and on and on. Number one way to overcome your ego. Some things, people, you know, we ask God, you know, God, remove my anger. And God says, you put away anger. So today we're going to learn how to put away. What is it that we need to put away? Number one is stop being offended. Stop being offended. Many disciples were following Jesus. But there was a moment when he said something they did not understand. And what did they do? They got offended and they left him. They could have experienced such a great blessing. They could have experienced such a great power and teaching. And yet, because they didn't understand something, they left. They left Jesus. And Jesus said to his 12, do you want to leave me now too? Just because somebody says something stupid, that doesn't mean you have to suffer from it. I'm going to repeat it. Just because somebody says something stupid to you, that doesn't mean you have to suffer from it. But people who are offended easily, that's ego in them. Because, what do you mean? I'm important. Can you believe this dirt rag, space monkey? Can you believe him? What he did? And you get offended easy. And then you never have peace, because people who are offended are weak people. They're baby Christians if you're still getting offended easily. I mean, offenses will come, but you just don't take any. Somebody will always offend you, but you just decide not to take. But person of ego, he thinks, how dare they do this? How dare? I will not forget this till I die. I will be paying them back. I will do anything possible. I'll make their life miserable. How dare they offend me? Look at me. Going too deep. Going too deep. Smile and wave. Hallelujah. So when you're offended, you suffer. But the reason you're offended is because of your ego. So to remove that ego part from you, stop being offended at people. Forgive me, please. Forgive the person who offended you. Jesus said in prayer, when you pray, do what? Forgive. Forgive. And when you begin to forgive people, just simply, easy, just, Lord, thank you. Oh, that person. Begin to watch your thoughts. And if your thought is you're talking about somebody in your thoughts, you're speaking inside about somebody, you're judging somebody, you're just looking at their weaknesses, just say, Lord, I forgive. Just say those words. I forgive, Lord. I forgive. I don't know if they'll ever ask me for forgiveness, but I forgive. Because I'm in bondage here. Something is speaking to me and I don't want it to. I lose my joy and peace. And then I begin to look everywhere. Who's going to offend me? And I begin to look. You offend me. You offend me. You offend me. And everybody's offending. Have you ever seen the people who are always easily offended? Everybody offends them. And it's never their fault. And they never ask for forgiveness. That's childishness, people. And actually, it hurts yourself. It hurts a person who's offended. So let go of your offense. Let go, forgive, quickly forgive. Because that's what offends you, makes you weaker. And if you're offended, you cannot have peace of God. No matter how much you try, and no matter how much you worship God in the church or pray. You cannot. Because God says, if you don't forgive those people who transgress against you, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And you know, we as people, we think in heaven. But it's here. If my wife is mad at me, I cannot pray. I don't allow her to be mad at me too long. It's not worth it, people. It's not worth to always be right. Amen. I just come because I can't pray anymore. And I can't read the Bible because I'm still... Your mind begins to talk to you. Let go. Same with women. Guys are faster to ask for forgiveness than ladies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I used to wait it out on my wife. Wait it out. But then I said, it's not worth it. I love her too much. And it's just, it's not worth it. Because man, you know, the anger in a man goes fast through. You know, like, okay, sorry. But in a woman, you know, it's slow pot. Roasting, roasting, roasting. Oh, the lady is ready to. Okay, let's keep going. Egoistical people, because they're offended a lot, they counterattack. They're looking for ways how... Have you ever went to church and somebody offended you last week and you came into church and you said, you were thinking, okay, when I see them, I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to just wait till I get a chance to preach. I'm going to let them know. Because when you're offended, you begin to attack. And Paul says, war within your members. Paul says that. Warring members. Members in the body and warring outside of the body. Because whatever happens in here happens in the body of Christ. So this is the one thing that we must get free of, is we must stop being egotistical and walk in peace. And if we want to walk in peace, quickly forgive. Make a decision today in this service. I'm going to quickly forgive my enemies even. Okay? I'm going to bless my enemies. Forgive my friends and those who hurt me, family, and those who hurt me. Hallelujah. Number two. You ready for number two? Number two is, let go of your need to win. If you know me on the court, who is the best tennis player in this church? No. See, that's ego speaking still. I have to go and lose. You know, and then I'll see how I react. Because I did, not to be proud or not to be arrogant. But, you know, Come on, and a lot of you have that too, especially guys. Girls are less, but guys, we have this thing we wanna win. And if we lose, we start feeling, even if we can smile on outside, because we're Christians, youth leaders, youth pastors. But inside is like, you practice more. You go practice behind my back. Oh, just admit it. And people, we have this thing to win. Girls, we have this thing to look a certain way, better than anybody. Win a contest in church. Who's the best looking? Who's got the better hair? Who's the skinniest? Can I preach? Is that all right? Let go of the desire to need to win. That's your ego holding you captive. I know, people, I know this. That many times I've lost in games and I felt like crap. Listen, why do I have to feel like this? Because in my mind, I am obsessed about winning. And I got to let go. Because there's always going to be younger, stronger, faster, smarter, wiser, richer, more beautiful, better. Come on, somebody clap your hands. Bless the Lord. Did I say younger? And every time if you have this desire to be better, if you have ego strongly holding you, every time you encounter a person who is stronger, better looking, better musician, better preacher, you begin feeling like worthless. But listen, why are you even allowing yourself to go through this? This is crazy. God has been messing me up, I'm telling you. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know it now. Stop. How much minutes I got? I got 10 more minutes. Is that okay? 10 more minutes? Hallelujah. So let go. It's okay to compete, people. It's okay to want to win. But just don't make it a compulsive obsession. Don't make it like, if I don't, I'm not going to be who I am. If I'm not the better singer, if I'm not the best preacher, let go. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So let go of your need to win. God loves you anyway. God is for you. He is not against you. Salvation is free. Gift of grace is free. You don't need to be the best. And just because you don't win doesn't mean you're a loser. Number three, ready? This is the biggest one between me and my wife. Let go of your need to be right all the time. 2 Timothy, it says in verse 4, traitors, headstrong. Always want to be right. You know that there's people who rather die than not be right. There is people who will do anything just to be right. They'll lose many friends. And I'm in my life right now where I want to build friends. I don't want to lose any. When I was younger, I maybe didn't care so much, you know. But now I know what true friends are. And I don't want to lose them. So sometimes I might have to say, well, I know you're not right. But, okay, well, how do you know this? Oh, great. Wow, that's great. Just let go. Some things, it's better to be happy, people. It's better to have this peace than to, always... You know, I'm right. And some of us people, we have that drive, I'm right. That's it. And I'm always right. And I can outsmart you. I can outspeak you. I could trick you. And I'll still make you wrong. But have you ever seen that? Sometimes we have to let go. Now, there are some things that we cannot compromise on. Sin is sin. But even in that, in those situations, we need, even in those situations, we need to be wise. Don't be going pointing people in their nose, you sinner, you this, blah, 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 and I will not tolerate, get out of my church. Don't be doing that. There is a wise way. So don't be headstrong. Don't be with a strong neck, how the Bible said about children of Israel. They're always, you know, strong. They will not bow to anything. To God, basically. So ego is a source of many conflict. If you know, if you have many conflict in your family, that's because you have some ego people. We call them baby Christians. Child. Always right. Instead of being angry, instead of letting ego take control of your life. Because it will produce you, will produce anger, bitterness, resentment. That's what ego produces. Always. You've probably been to that kind of party where you feel like garbage. Why? Not because everybody's treating you that way, but because of your ego. And now you feel like just it. SH. So choose to be better person, be kinder person, more gentle person. And just say, no, I don't need to be right all the time. Just, we husbands already know. Life would suck if you reach the success, but you have no one to share it with. Because you are so right. Let's go to the next one. 4. Hallelujah. Stop trying to be superior to people. What is superior? Is this always comparing to being better than others? When you come in the room, you just feel, I'm the best here. I got it. I'm in control in this place. Stop being superior. You will never be better than everybody because there's always going to come a young one and beat you. So the goal is this. This is something I learned for myself. My assignment, my job is not to be better than everybody else. But to be better than myself and what I was yesterday. If I can do that, if I can become better than I was yesterday, if I can be a better preacher, a better husband, a better father than I was yesterday, if I could become better, my life and people around me will adjust and will become better. Pastor Sunday says this. He said, try not to see people's mistakes. Try hard, especially to ministers, to pastors. He says, try, close your eyes to people's problems. Sometimes, yeah, you know they're weak. Jesus' disciples weren't perfect either, people. One denied him. One doubted him. And on and on and on. They weren't perfect people. One ran. You don't have to be superior. This is my... I've been speaking this many times and I'll repeat it. My life and my assignment is to learn from life and to learn from others. That's just the best way. God will teach you. Holy Spirit will teach you if you open your eyes and see. Because when we don't like something, we make excuses. We're going to stop here. Our time is over. Was Holy Spirit talking to you today? Was it to you? Because if it's irrelevant, then it's, if it's impractical. If he was talking to you, you need to write those things down and put it on your mirror somewhere. Every time you wake up, you say, let go of need to be, to win all the time. Quit being offended. And on and on and on. Hallelujah. Let's stand. I didn't have time today to go to Matthew more because I want to show you more things in Matthew. That's going to be next week if God permits. God is not condemning you, people. He is not condemning us. He's just saying, if you want to change, I will help you change. If you want to make excuses, go ahead. But don't be wondering all the time, why isn't things working out better in my life? Don't be blaming God. God is not answering my prayers. No, He is. He's given this word today. He sent His word and He healed them.